Welcome, everybody. PersonalGrowth.net presents Personal Growth and Positive Psychology Through the Prism of Ancient Jewish Wisdom.
Yes, hi. We're going to be focusing today on actually a pretty common issue in the field of, or in the area of dealing with frustrations and anger in life. If you remember, we were talking about how managing anger is all about the space. As Viktor Frankl said, between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space lies our choice. It's that pause. And the key being the pullback response to figure out how to respond in a way that won't feed the problem but will feed a solution. But what happens when the person who's the source of the anger has absolutely no interest in a dialogue? What happens if it's somebody who's just unreasonable? Let's say it's a child who's not in a position or not interested or not able to talk things out. What happens if the individual who's doing the attack is wired in a way or has a personality that doesn't see the other point of view at all? How do you handle it then? In the last discussion, we were talking about how you handle planned discussions. In the last discussion, we were figuring out different approaches to the three P's of the pullback response, planned discussion, and perspective taking. But here, it's a little more complex. What happens if to the other side, there is no other side? To the other side, your perspective is irrelevant. So there's, by definition, no dialogue. The word dialogue speaks to die, too. You need two points of view. But we all know that very often in life, the other side is not interested at all in your side of the story. So let me start with recommendation number one. It's actually a fascinating insight. It comes from the world-renowned rabbi, the Chafetz Chaim. And here's what he says about the shift in perspective that I know many people have found his thinking in this area to be incredibly instructive in terms of figuring out an approach that allows you to get through those unfair kinds of attacks. He says the following. Chafetz Chaim says that when you are being attacked, one approach in terms of handling unfair insults or unfair provocations is that at the beginning of every year, it's destined that everybody's going to have a certain amount of suffering. Okay, God decrees a certain amount of suffering. You can almost imagine. We all know that in a given calendar year, there are certain stresses that we go through. It may be financial distress. It may be the distress of illness or, God forbid, the distress of a loss. He says, let's say you're lucky enough that the stress that you suffer, that God chooses for you to suffer, comes in the form not of illness, not of loss, not of even financial setback, but it comes in the form of somebody criticizing you unfairly or somebody insulting you unfairly. He says that's incredible news. It means that God has decreed that this is going to be part of your measure of that year's stress. He says that's unbelievable because that's something that is doesn't have to become the center of your existence. That's something that could be handled. He says when it happens, we should accept it in a spirit of almost joy. He says you should almost respond to it by dancing and singing. And he quotes a well-known saying from the Talmud that it's better to be from those who are the insulted rather than those doing the insulting. And he suggests that when you have that paradigm shift in dealing with the attacks of others, it actually can allow you to accept it without getting pulled into aggravation and a escalating kind of response of counter-anger. Let me tell you a story of who I learned this from. A rabbi in New York, a very respected rabbi, tells the following story in talking about this insight from the Chafetz Chaim. He said he was about to sit down for dinner with his family one evening when a phone call comes in just before he was about to sit down. And the phone call was from a very angry congregant. He says to this day he doesn't even know why the congregant was so angry. The guy starts screaming and yelling at him and cursing him. He didn't even give him a chance to get in a word in edgewise to ask him what he was so angry about. The guy, it turns out, was angry about something that was a total misunderstanding that the rabbi didn't even know what the issue was, but somehow the congregant had misread or misunderstood a certain incident. And the rabbi is just listening to this guy screaming, and he's about to get upset. And he says, suddenly what flashes through his mind is that famous insight from the Chafetz Chaim that one of the ways of looking at an incident like that is to dance with joy, is to respond to it with the joy of realizing that this is God's way of meeting out my yearly dose of stress in a form that I can handle much easier than other far harsher forms of stress. And he said he holds the phone away from his ear, and he starts dancing. And he says that his wife and children start looking at him like he's totally out of his mind. They wanted to call the men in the white coats to come take him away. But he explained to them later that this was really his psychological kind of approach to situations like that. And he explained why. He said, ironically, the day before Yom Kippur, this man called him crying and asking for forgiveness, apologizing, saying, Rabbi, I got to tell you, I was accusing you of something that you had nothing to do with. I don't even know how to find a solution and ask you for forgiveness for that totally irrational attack. So that's recommendation number one, is it's always better to be among the insulted than the insulters, or as it says, to be from the ne'elavim ve'enam olvim, shomim cherpasam ve'enam moshivim, listening to insults without necessarily giving an answer. Because when that happens, we are able often to save ourselves from getting sucked into a mutually escalating kind of cycle that's not good for us and doesn't solve the problem at all. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about a passive turning the other cheeks. When we had our discussions about forgiveness, we talked about how that's really not the Jewish approach to forgiveness. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about once you've assessed the situation and realistically and rationally determined that there's no direct rational way to engage the angry party in discussion and mutual give and take, and there's no chance for a dialogue, this is an approach. Because when something is out of our control, what's always in our control is the ability to change our perspective about what's happening. That's always in our control. Nobody could ever take that away from us. And this is an approach like that. And that leads to the second recommendation, which is a brilliant recommendation. Again, this time coming from a rabbi who lived even earlier than the Chafetz Chaim, who lived in late 1800s and early 1900s. This is coming from the Teferis Yisrael, a well-known commentary on the Mishnah, who in 1820 writes the following. He's writing on a portion of the Mishnah that says that we could learn from anybody. And here's what he says, and I'll read to you the English translation of what he says. He says, who is it that we learn from? He says, we don't really learn so much from friends giving us feedback. Because when friends give us feedback, it's often tinged with a certain amount of concern about our feelings. So they often don't tell us what we really need to hear, because they want to shelter us from anything that might smack of criticism or that might make us feel badly about ourselves. He says, who should we really listen to? He says, the people who are often the engine of growth in our lives, the people who we should listen to most carefully, are our critics. Fascinating, fascinating insight. And here's the translation of what the Tiferes Yisrael said. He says, most of all, the intelligent person should pay careful heed to the words of his enemy when he degrades and denigrates him and raises his voice. When this happens, says the Tiferes Yisrael, he should cup his ears to listen carefully in a spirit of peace and tranquility, because this is the engine of growth. What a fascinating approach to handling criticism from somebody who is not interested in taking your input. He says, listen carefully, beruach sheket v'shalva, which means in a spirit of tranquility and quiet, quiet receptivity. Because these are the people that no matter how unfair their criticism might be, there's a kernel of truth almost inevitably in their perspective that we could learn from and grow from, even greater than when the source of input and feedback is from a friend. Very novel and unusual way of looking at this. But again, just think, imagine if we were able to go through life, if we're being aggravated by somebody who's unfairly giving us a hard time. The first question you have to ask is, have I done everything to engage this person in a dialogue? Because that always has to be the first line of attack. Is you try to constructively solve it by doing what we've talked about in the past, which is to be understood first, understand, to try to get a dialogue going, get curious, as we've talked about their point of view, try to do that, and then hopefully they're going to listen to your point of view as well. But when that is not possible, at that point, what you need to do is you need to really consider these two approaches, because nobody could take away these two approaches from you. They could be as uncooperative and as unwilling to engage in a dialogue as they want to be. They can't shift your perspective in terms of A, having the perspective of saying, okay, this is not a bad way to have my yearly dose of stress meted out to me, and the Tiferes Yisrael perspective, which is, hey, maybe I could learn from this a little bit. So that's two recommendations on this. Next recommendation is the idea that is closely related to all this, and this is the insight of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, well-known rabbi who often has unusually brilliant insights, going back a few, centuries, what the Vilna Gaon's theory in these situations is based on a passage in Proverbs that says, "Hachseik b'musar al teref nitzra kehi chayecha." What's translated to mean is, "Hold on to self-correction or the correction of others. Don't weaken." And realize this is your life. Very hard to understand passage in Proverbs. And here's what the Vilna Gaon says on this. He says, "Ki masha ha'adam chai," the purpose of life, he says, is to confront situations that are most difficult for us. To engage, let's say, in dealing with difficult people who are posing us with incredibly difficult challenges. It may be a relative who's constantly making unreasonable demands. It may be a friend who, when every time you're around him or her, it's like walking on eggshells. It may be somebody who you can never please and is always angry at you, and you're not even sure why. And any attempts at figuring out why leads to increased frustration. And here's what the Vilna Gaon says. He says, when you engage with such a person and don't get sucked into an angry set of mutually kind of attacking recriminations, when you engage in such interactions and control yourself, he says, then you're actually fulfilling your purpose in life. He says, because one of the main purposes of life is to engage in difficult situations and grow from them. Kihi chayecha, that's your life. That's the purpose of life, is to constantly engage in self-correction when faced with these kind of challenging people and challenging situations. So again, it's a paradigm shift. The paradigm shift is when you're being unfairly challenged and when you're being unfairly insulted and attacked and all of your answers and all of your attempts at reconciliation go nowhere, one of the ways of looking at it, says the Vilna Gaon, is to realize is that at that point, if you don't get sucked in and you don't go down to the gutter like the person attacking you and you deal with it from a high point, you actually are at that point living life at its most sublime. Another very interesting, very similar kind of approach. The three approaches, the approach of the Chafetz Chaim, the approach of the Vilna Gaon, and the approach of the Tiferes Yisrael are all basically about perspective shifting, because we always have control over our perspective and how we're going to handle stress. It's all about perception. We've talked about that in some of the previous discussions that we've had. And I just think that's very important to keep in mind. It's interesting. I had a very interesting kind of experience a few years back. I was giving a lecture in to a large audience that seemed invested in hearing my talk. And it was a family audience in a synagogue. I was a scholar in residence. And I was getting up to talk. And there was a woman who was anxious to hear the talk, but she had no child care. So she brought her baby in, and her baby started to cry. And people were getting very, very angry at her, like yelling at her to leave and really getting furious at her and getting aggravated because she didn't seem to want to leave and they felt it was going to interfere with my talk. And there was an elderly gentleman sitting in the front row and he leans over to me and he says, make the baby stay. He says, make the baby stay. He says, I was a survivor of the Holocaust. And every time I hear a baby cry, to me, it's a sign that we've had a victory over Hitler. He says, other people are hearing this baby cry and they're being annoyed because they can't hear you so well. I hear the baby cry and I hear that we won, we're victorious. I hear, oh, how wonderful, another Jewish child in the world. What a interesting shift in perspective. And it changed the cry for me into being the sweetest sound I could have heard. It's all about how we massage our perspectives. And I think that's the core points I wanted to make on this section. Now, for the more specific application today on this topic, I wanted to talk for a few minutes on the way of taking this kind of approach into parenting. I call this the Teflon mindset in parenting. And how do we do this when we're up against a child who is, in the moment, somebody you can't have a dialogue in? It may be a young kid who's having a tantrum. It may be an unreasonable adolescent. Now, obviously, with a kid, we always have the option of striking when the iron is cold and having a planned discussion. But how is it that you could engage and use some of these approaches in parenting when in the moment the child is not receptive to dialogue? And here the first recommendation is to have a shift in expectation where you say the following mantra to yourself. So imagine that you have a 10-year-old child who's insisting that you allow him to have a sleepover at a friend's house and you said no, and he's totally, totally driving you crazy by not taking no for an answer and by whining and disturbing your tranquility. The mantra you could say to yourself is the following. I have no control over his behavior right now, but I always have control over the consequences. So let me explain to you what I mean by this. What I mean by it is that very often what pulls parents into an escalating kind of mutual spiraling out of control parent-child damaging interaction is the belief on the part of the parent that they have to make their child act and think and feel in a certain way at this moment. And if your child's already in a meltdown, that's going to be poison. Instead, if you have this mantra going in your head, okay, I have no control over the behavior now. Of course, I have control over the long-term consequences.
Thank you for joining PersonalGrowth.net's Personal Growth and Positive Psychology Through the Prism of Ancient Jewish Wisdom by Dr. David Pelkovitz, Ph.D.